important to remember that it's all about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. And when we read here in Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth had been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. It's quite an interesting passage because it covers so much of daily life, so much of attitude that denies us the opportunity of the joy of people coming to faith. But when Luke penned these words, he's deliberately ambiguous, because right at the very beginning, in verse 1, it says, one day, not a Tuesday, not the Sabbath, not a festival or whatever, one day. You see, when it comes to one day, each of us are blessed by one day experiences. We choose to spend ourselves on behalf of the lost in our one-day experiences, we can turn their one-day experience into an extraordinary day's experience, because if we move from darkness to light, from conflict to an aspect of peace that's beyond their own understanding, we all have that wonderful ability in our one-day experiences to share our faith. Look at our one-day experiences, our one-day routines. If we work, most of us will take the same route and engage with the same people day in and day out. But what do we do with these people who come across our paths? What do we do that's uniquely different to make their one-day experience an extraordinary day's experience? Do we tell them about our day, our week, our faith? Do we tell them that the faith that we have is available to them, so they just reach out and take it? Or do we do a routine on a daily basis and we don't engage with anybody, because our faith is private, our faith is for church on a Sunday, that we walk by people left and to the right and never engage? You see, we have that one-day experience ability to change things in an extraordinary way for those who come across our path. But it says one day, as Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. In these days, the synagogue was visited 3 times a day. Start of the day, halfway through the day, and at 3 in the afternoon, when this would be the last act of the day. They would go to pray, they would go to worship, they would go to be taught, they would go about their daily business in between times. It was a routine, that was how they went through their one-day experiences. They went to visit the house of God, they went to the temple. But along the way, they would come across people, like the crippled beggar who was sitting at the temple gate called Beautiful. It tells you here that he was put there every day to beg from those who went to the temple. Now, if it was put there every day, it must have been a lucrative spot. One of these sought-after positions. You sometimes see them in Glasgow, where you've got the big issue sellers, where they position themselves next to a cash machine, or next to a Greg's the Baker, where there are people going to be opening their purses and their wallet and maybe having some change or whatever. They position themselves because it's lucrative. They'll get what they need, or what they think they need. Because money does not solve the problems. Money often exacerbates the problem. And this is what we're seeing here. It says, when they saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And he must have sat there in his crippled state with a bolt in front of him. Spare a few coppers, man. Spare a few coppers. And folks would go without breaking their stride into the temple, and they would drop a coin or two to salve their own consciences. I've done my bit. I've done my bit. I've given a coin or two and kept on walking. But today, this one-day experience is going to turn into something quite special, to quite an extraordinary day, because it tells us here that all of a sudden all the cultural pra- practices and customs are going to be kicked into touch. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him. You see, if we are going to help people, we need to look right into their eyes, right into their soul, right into the heart of the issue that's bothering or concerning them. On the outside, they might look wonderful, but you look into the eyes and you can see where the hurt and the pain and the need really exists. And that's why Peter looked straight at the crippled beggar. And the beggar's heart must have been doing cartwheels. Whoa! Somebody's actually looked at me. Somebody's actually speaking to me. This is going to be a good day. This is my birthday and Christmas is all rolled into one. I'm going to get so much money here. And then in this euphoric state here, he must have dropped like a stone when Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." His heart must have sank. It must have sunk. I'm getting everything here and then they tell me you've got no money. But what I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then all of a sudden they broke the other cultural taboo as they reached down to where the man was and offered the right hand of fellowship and lifted him up. Lifted him up. Now Luke is deliberately pointing this fact out here. Why is he pointing it out? Well, customary, the right hand is fellowship. The left hand was used, well, let's say the left hand was used before the Andrex puppy was invented. It was unclean. Unclean. And I need to be very careful when I'm travelling the world because I'm left-handed. And the last thing I want to do is cause offence. And the amount of times I have to walk about with one hand firmly stuck in my pocket, almost tied to my belt, so that I don't upset and offend anybody. But all of a sudden, Peter just reached down, seeing the guy for who he was, a man in need who was made in the very image of God himself. We need to see people as people made in the image of God. We need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone, stop being constrained by all the cultures and customs that have been forced upon us by men, and break every one of them so that we can get right to the heart of the issue and reach down and elevate the individual to a position where he feels worthy. Where he feels worthy, where he feels accepted, where he feels recognised. And he reached down and he helped him to his feet. And all of a sudden, it says immediately, his feet and his ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. All of a sudden, his life had been transformed. He'd been sitting there begging three times a day, day in, day out, week in, week out, and so on and so forth for such a long time. And all of a sudden, he could enjoy him, see him, engage him, speak to him, accept him, lift him up, and a miracle. A miracle. His position had changed. He'd been elevated. Elevated. And it wasn't Peter and John, because Peter's silver and gold I do not have. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It's Christ that performs the miracles. He chooses to use us to be part of that miracle. We are tools in a creator God's hand. And what a privilege that is to be part of. Tools to be used by God for the glory of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising Peter and John. Walking and jumping and praising God. You see, people shouldn't see us, but they should see Christ in us. When we speak, people shouldn't hear us, but they should hear God appealing to their need. Come to me, all who are weary and weak. Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to me, all who are hungry, and I will provide it. He might choose to use us to be part of that process, but God himself will provide it, if only we will make ourselves available to be used by him in our one-day experiences. He went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And this is a really sad part of the whole passage in verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. It's the same man who used to sit at the temple gate begging, called Beautiful. They recognized him. How sad is that? The new way was, they're recognising that they never at any point choose to engage with him. We sell their coins by dropping a copper or two in his little begging bowl. That was it. Not a, how are you doing? Not a recognition that this man is made in the very image of God himself. That's for me, I'm busy. But you know, it's incredible when we look at these things that we see people every minute of every day in our lives. If we see them, then we should engage with them. And God will give you the words, because God has provided the opportunity. We have got to be prepared to step outside our comfort zone. And some of the places that MAF work around the developing world are quite challenging. I suppose that's a bit of an understatement. Some of the places that we work are downright dangerous and life-threatening minute by minute. But if we're not there, we can't engage with people, so that's why we're there. That's why people come to faith. You're all here today. You've all come to faith. I'm assuming that you've all come to faith, because if you haven't, please don't leave this place this morning without handing your heart to Jesus. Don't walk out that door, because it might be the last door you walk through. You have to open up your heart and accept Jesus where you're at right now. Because what we see here is really sad. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognised him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. But you know something? See, if you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 22. How long had these people been going to the temple? How long had they seen the wee man who had been lying there crippled 3 times a day? It says here, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. He'd been put at the temple gate called Beautiful 3 times a day for 40 years, yet nobody had engaged with him. And all of a sudden, Peter and John stop, recognize him, engage, touch, speak, lift him, and all of a sudden his life is transformed. It becomes an extraordinary day. But why didn't it happen 40 years ago? Or 39 or 38? Because he was filthy. He probably stank to the high heavens. He was crippled, so he couldn't really offer anything to their lives. So they sold their coins and tossed a couple of coins and kept on walking. Don't judge people by their appearance. Don't judge people by how low they are in society. We need to see people as people who are made in the very image of God himself. And if we see people who are made in the image of God himself, then we will see people like this crippled beggar coming to faith. We will see ordinary days become extraordinary days. Because we see here, it says, right at the end it says, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. But why were they filled with wonder and amazement? Well, they'd been going to the temple 3 times a day. Here were they going to worship. Were they going to worship a God of miracles, or a God who didn't do miracles, was incapable of miracles? Did they have a lack of faith or understanding that this God could do the impossible? Well, they obviously did have a lack of faith, a lack of understanding. You see, we are here this morning to worship and to praise and to honour a miracle-making God. A God who allowed his son to come to Calvary's cross. Who allowed his son to die the most horrific of deaths. And he defeated death. As we come here this morning, we celebrate the fact that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, and he has risen. That's the God that we come to worship. And if you don't know him this morning, you've got to reach out and accept him as your own personal saviour. Just as this crippled beggar did, as Peter reached down and elevated him to a position of acceptance. A brother in the Lord. We should not be amazed at what God can do. We should be expecting to see the miracles. We should be expecting to be part of the miracle process. But we have to make ourselves available. So the challenge today is, are we going to be prepared in our one-day experiences to share our faith to such an extent that people's lives will be transformed and become extraordinary as they accept Jesus as their own personal Saviour? I want you to think about that this morning, to consider it in your heart and in your life and in your mind, and really pray about it. But even more importantly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally today, there is no time with the present to just reach out and accept them. Speak to some of the leaders in the church. Come and speak to me, but don't leave here without accepting Christ. Because without him, you're heading to a lost eternity. With him, you are going to experience the wonders of heaven. You will look at him face to face, and you will be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me." Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, this morning, we are just so humbled to find ourselves in your presence. We are humbled beyond our own understanding to just appreciate how much you have loved us, and how much you do love us, and how much you continue to intercede for us. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit abundantly from heaven this morning, equipping us, enabling us, and sending us forth to make disciples. We pray that you would lay your words on their lips, Father, as we would share our faith in these one day experiences. So Lord, be with us at this time, we ask, but we ask it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we're not finished just yet. Beware of those from the West bearing gifts. You'll notice when you came in this morning, you had a boarding card in your seat. Now, it's not any ordinary boarding card. This is a boarding card. Have anybody ever heard of an author called Jules Verne? Anybody heard of Jules Verne? Yeah. Around the world in how many days? 80. Well, we don't move just as fast as that. If you open this up and if you complete it, we're going to give you something quite unique. We want you to come on a journey with us. We want to take you around the world according to MEF. We want to, if you fill that out today, we will give you one of these, and it's a Discovery Air Pass. It's free. There is no financial expectation whatsoever. There is a prayerful expectation. But we're going to communicate with you for 1 year, and 1 year only. And in that year, we're going to send you 5 communications. This will give you a bit more info of who we are inside, but there's a map of the world here. And 2 months from now, we're going to send you some information about South Sudan. 2 months after that, we'll take you to Tanzania. Followed 2 months later to Madagascar. Followed 2 months after that to Papua New Guinea. And then our final communication, that's a secret, somewhere undisclosed. And if you want to know where it is, do fill out your little cards and come and get one of these from me. And I would love to see you all here tonight as we open up more widely the work of MEF. So bless you and thank you. Do you have a closing worship?